Israel are my people, says the Lord God. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, says the Lord God. Our second scripture reading is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The inability to distinguish between contentment and unbridled desire can lead to problems. A little boy was visiting his favorite aunt. The aunt asked him, "What would you like to do while you're here?" The little boy said, "I love pancakes. We eat them at home, but I'm only allowed to eat three. While I'm here, I want to eat as many pancakes as I want." The next morning, the aunt prepared pancakes. And the little guy ate them as fast as she could place them on his plate. Until about the ninth one, when he slowed down a little. And then in the middle of the tenth one, he stopped abruptly. The aunt asked, "Would you like some more pancakes?" The boy looked up at her with a pained expression on his face. "Oh, no," he said. "I don't want any more pancakes. I don't even want the ones I've already eaten." Oh. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David was a shepherd. He tended sheep. He had a knack for caring for these creatures who were often helpless and easily led astray. There is something about a shepherd that tells us something about God. God is like a shepherd. David discovered this, and later he would pen the immortal words we know as Psalm 23. God is very much concerned about those of us who are often helpless and easily led astray. Psalm 23 is one of the best known, best loved passages in the Bible. It speaks directly to the joys and the fears of being a human being. It reminds us of the goodness of the Lord towards his people. We are like sheep under the care and guidance of the divine shepherd. The opening verse tells us of the shepherd's provision. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We can trust God to watch over us and provide for us. This is what is known as providence. Unfortunately, if you were to ask the average American, what is providence? You'll likely get one of two responses. They might say it's the capital of Rhode Island. Or they might just return a blank stare. As it happens, Providence, the city, was named by Christians who believed in God's faithful care and oversight. David believed in God's faithful care and oversight. And so can we. We can believe in God's faithful care and oversight because the divine shepherd's provision for us is good. To appreciate this, we need to see how David puts two contrasting words together, Lord and shepherd. Lord and shepherd. Lord is a translation of the personal name of God revealed to Moses. This name can be represented in English letters by the four consonants YHWH. Some years ago, somebody wrote a Bible study entitled, YHWH is not a radio station from Minneapolis. And that's true, it's not. It is the English representation of the Hebrew consonants for the personal name of God revealed to Moses. And this name is used far more frequently than any other name for God in the Old Testament. Ancient Hebrew writing did not use vowels. So pronunciation was intuitive, or it was kept alive through oral tradition. They just wrote consonants. Orthodox Jews, out of peculiar reverence, would not pronounce this name, this personal name of God, but would substitute instead another Hebrew word, Adonai. Adonai means captain or leader or Lord. And this is a practice among Orthodox Jews even to this day. Over time, the actual pronunciation of YHWH was lost. In the 12th century AD, scholars took the vowels from Adonai and added it to YHWH and came up with Jehovah. Jehovah. So Jehovah is the 12th century attempt at Latinizing the inexpressible name of God. It's a made-up word to represent the Hebrew name of God. You might want to keep that in mind the next time representatives from a certain religious group come knocking on your door. Which reminds me of a very old joke. What do you get when you cross a Jehovah's Witness with a Presbyterian? You get someone who will knock on your door and then has no clue what to say. Presbyterian. All right. Now, the earliest Christians tried to write the name of God in a way that would help them to pronounce it. And using English letters, the equivalent spelling would be I-A-O-U-E, all vowels. And from the study of this and also the structure of the Hebrew language, most scholars today believe that Y-H-W-H is pronounced as Yahweh. Yahweh. Most English translations, by far the majority of English translations, will not use Yahweh in their translations, but instead will put Lord in all capital letters. Just skim through the Old Testament sometime. You'll see that. You'll see Lord in all capital letters from time to time. That's the representation of the personal name of God revealed to Moses, which is not the radio station from Minneapolis. Yahweh. All right. Now, the name Yahweh means something like, I am. This is why when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, religious leaders wanted to kill him. And they wanted to kill him not because of bad grammar, but because he was claiming to be the Lord. To say that God is Lord is to say that God is the creator of all things, the source of all existence, the sustainer of all that is. Nothing ever happens beyond the scope of God's sovereign, providential rule. God is in charge. The second term, shepherd, gives us an entirely different concept of God. To call the supreme sovereign of the universe a shepherd is as startling as Jesus calling God Abba, Father. The idea of addressing God as Father is not a major theme in the Old Testament, and the word is used as an analogy and rarely as a way of speaking directly to God. Even so, Jesus went way beyond the regular word for Father. The term he used to speak of his own intimate relationship with God is Abba, which means something like dear father or even daddy. We should regard the reference to shepherd in a similar way. The Lord speaks to the power of God. Shepherd speaks to his love. Adrian Rogers makes this observation. Did you notice that the title God chose to describe himself is an incomplete sentence? Most people would want to finish that sentence. I am love, or I am light, or I am whatever. But not our Lord. He purposely did not complete the sentence. I am. He ever exists. He is always God. He is. Are you hungry? He is the bread. Are you in the dark? He is the light. Are you searching? He is the truth. Are you lost? He is the way. Are you in need? He is the shepherd. The Lord, who is like a shepherd, has promised to take care of his people and has revealed himself to be full of love, compassion, patience, faithfulness, and mercy. But what does it mean to say, I shall not want? The meaning is not that we will not desire. Wait a minute, was that too many negatives? Wait a minute. The meaning is not that we will not desire. I'll leave it. What it means is that we will be not left wanting, okay? And John Piper describes it this way. What David means is that God's sheep never lack anything that the shepherd thinks is good for them. Let me repeat that. What David means is that God's sheep never lack anything that the shepherd thinks is good for them. Now, one of the historic documents that has helped Presbyterian and Reformed Christians understand the teaching of the Bible is known as the Heidelberg Catechism. In fact, we used it last Sunday in worship. In answer to the question, what is your only comfort in life and in death, it says in part that I, with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who so preserves me that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, that all things must work together for my salvation. Now, this is quite similar to something that Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This does not mean that everything happens to us is good, but in everything God is working for the good. God's provision is always good. David exclaims, "The Lord is my shepherd," with the emphasis on my. The shepherd's provision is personal. He's not just the shepherd. He can be your shepherd, even as he is my shepherd. A poet looks at flowers and sees thoughts too deep for prayer, for tears. People in love can gaze in silence at each other for long periods of time. They not only see with their natural eyes, they also see with their hearts. Many can read the 23rd Psalm and understand the words and the phrases. But some read it with their hearts and feel the message because they know the shepherd of whom the psalm speaks. Ian Barclay tells the account of two ministers who were on vacation, as they often did, taking part of the summer off and traveling through northern Wales. And one summer they befriended a shepherd boy. And they taught him the 23rd Psalm, particularly the opening words, using his left hand as a guide to the words. The next summer, they returned to the same place, but they didn't find the shepherd boy. One day, they happened to be visiting a woman in the area, and to their surprise, there was a picture of the boy on the mantle. And so they inquired. But the woman said that they would not be able to see him, as he had died in a terrible storm the previous winter. And she went on to say there was something quite unusual about the position of his body when he was discovered. The boy was grasping the fourth finger of his left hand, what we would call the ring finger of the hand. Now, the ministers understood at once, and they explained how they had taught the boy the opening words of the 23rd Psalm using the fingers of his left hand at the point of death. The child was expressing his faith. The Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd? The divine shepherd's care for us is not only good, his interest in us not only personal, but his provision for us is complete, being concerned with the whole person, body, and soul. His mercy knows no limits. David affirms, the Lord is my shepherd. He does not say, you know, someday when I get my act together and I'm worthy of it, the Lord will be my shepherd. He doesn't say that. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. We do not know when David penned this psalm. The mature outlook suggests a time later in his life. Some think it likely that it came out of a time when David's son Absalom rebelled against his father and split the kingdom into civil war. David had to flee for his life through the valleys of Gilead. The physical danger may have awakened him to the greater danger of having neglected the Lord for so many years. The signs were all there: court intrigue, polygamous marriages, a palace full of concubines, and the absence of any personal devotion. Perhaps as king he had become complacent. There were no more Goliaths. No more Sauls. If there was a battle to be fought, he sent out soldiers. If he wanted something, he sent a servant to retrieve it. Rich in material blessings, his spiritual experience had run dry. But it is never too late to turn back to God. a lesson he should have learned 20 years earlier after that sad, adulterous affair involving Bathsheba. So now, both physically and spiritually, at the bottom of a valley, he cries out, "O God, you are my shepherd." And perhaps his earlier words came back to him to help him, as they've helped so many of us. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit." From Psalm 51. The joy of salvation is the reason Jesus came. Psalm 23 does not mention Jesus by name, but ever since Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," Christians have thought of him every time this psalm is read. One of the responsibilities of a shepherd is to look out for strays. We know from the scriptures that the Lord has a special fondness for strays. Jesus taught, "What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 in the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray." Now you follow that he's not really talking about sheep. He's talking about us. And there's no place into which we can stray that our Lord cannot find us. Psalm 23 is frequently used at funerals to comfort the bereaving, and that's fine. Psalm 23 is often used as an affirmation of faith in a worship service, and that's wonderful. But we need to remember that Psalm 23 was written by a guy who was in a heck of a lot of trouble, and it was his own fault. And as we read, we need to remember that happens to us. And if we're honest, quite often we're in trouble, and it's our own fault. But we need not despair. For our hope is in God, who loves us like a shepherd in spite of ourselves. We can trust God to provide only what he thinks is good for us. He wants to restore our relationship with him, and he wants that restored relationship to last forever.
Each week during the Good Shepherd series, we'll be using a different translation of the 23rd Psalm as our affirmation of faith. The message, the Bible in contemporary language, was created by pastor, scholar, author, and poet Eugene H. Peterson and published in segments from 1993 to 2002. The goal of this popular work is to provide a current, fresh, and readable translation of the Bible. Let us stand and affirm our faith together. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk by my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You receive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life.